It's time to get rambling with your host of the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast, Nick Pearl. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Nick Pearl, and today we're talking contracts. Not just any contract in particular. We are talking about one person today, and this is someone who is a big Triple H guy. Triple H loves this guy, and a lot of people are finally starting to come around to him. The person that I'm talking about and that we're going to ramble about today is Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross, you might say he's been fumbled a little bit since being in the WWE. And quite frankly, you're not wrong. He has been fumbled. They're not using him to his strengths. He's going on his own, going onto social media, writing a book, showing just how intelligent and calculated he can be. And it's not showing on screen as much in the ring. But when he's backstage, they give him backstage time. He's interrupting so many different storylines. He doesn't necessarily have one feud. He's back there talking to AJ Styles, Sami Zayn. He's the catalyst for character development. So let's go through his entire career, starting down in NXT. He had a very, very weird run down there where I only remember a couple of things that actually happened. I know he was NXT champion. I know we got called up and had a terrible debut on Raw, and I'm glad that you're here to revisit that with me because I don't want to revisit that atrocity on my own. It was really bad, but we got to talk about it if we're talking about his career in the WWE thus far. He debuts in NXT at the top of the card. He's a Triple H guy. Triple H was the head of NXT. He saw money in this guy. Comes in, he's shaved bald. Scarlett comes with him, his wife, and they are the total package. His first entrance in NXT, I remember this one vividly. I was sitting on my couch watching during COVID. He came out, he had the lighting that was different, black and white color scheme, had the smoke, he had it all. Immediately pushed to the front of NXT, and people watching that entrance know he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. He goes on to defeat a future North American champion in Leon Ruff. We don't need to talk about that because it was awesome that he won the belt, but he didn't hold it very long at all. Karrion Kross defeats him, and then he's pretty much thrusted right into the main event scene, like I was saying. While he's there, Keith Lee wins the NXT Championship. He was the double champion, North American and NXT. Karrion Kross ends up beating Keith Lee for the NXT Championship after being built up a little bit. It wasn't exactly a memorable match. I just remember it ended off of a Doomsday Saito, I'm pretty sure. Karrion Kross wins. Next week on NXT, he's got to vacate it because of injury. So, not off to a great start. Finn Balor goes back down and ends up running NXT for a little bit. Really good for his career. Karrion Kross ends up winning the NXT Championship back. I only remember him being in a Fatal 5-Way for this belt. Probably the best Karrion Kross match to date in NXT. Because all of his matches, they just kind of happened. They weren't necessarily special. I'm not knocking him. Because when it goes bell to bell, he reminds me of Baron Corbin. You put him in the ring with someone, and or you give him something, and he's going to make it work. Except for his debut on Raw, but we'll talk about that. In the tail end of his NXT run, he ends up going up against Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe beats him for the NXT title, and Kross is sent on his way. But before that, what I'm saying, when Triple H made him come out, so the black and white, all the smoke, everything, the pyro, he gave him it all. When he was feuding with Adam Cole in NXT, Adam Cole in a promo said,
"The truth is, you ain't Adam Cole, baby, and you never will be."
They give you all these extra things and want you to get over. But guys like me, we have to work for it. We have to earn it. That is something Karrion Kross did not earn in NXT. He was given these opportunities, but he didn't earn them. So I guess because he didn't earn them, he gets called up to Monday Night Raw. I don't want to talk about it. I really don't. It's terrible. It's really a terrible thing. He got called up. I was watching in Florida, and it was him versus Jeff Hardy. Like, ooh, this is going to be fun. And I'm pretty sure Jeff Hardy came back with his old theme song, too, right before this match. So it was kind of weird timing. Cross gets called up, makes his entrance. No black and white entrance and no Scarlet. Everything that made him special in NXT that Adam Cole was saying, the people in the back gave to him. He had none of it. So he gets called up to Monday Night Raw, his debut match against Jeff Hardy, which is supposed to be a big deal, goes in the ring and loses. That's it. Clean as day. Karrion Kross had been protected so much in NXT, he gets called up and in one night, everything that he had built up was destroyed. Nobody was ever going to take him seriously again. This is just very interesting information. This match with Jeff Hardy was supposed to be a 10-minute match, but it got shortened to 90 seconds. How crappy is that? How do you do that to someone? It's his debut! 10 minutes against Jeff Hardy and he loses. Look, that's one thing. Jeff Hardy's a legend, and I'm sure they would have built a story out of it. But 90 seconds? What are we doing? I don't understand. So yeah, he's called up in July, transferred to Raw in August with his call-up without Scarlett. He gets some of the worst-looking fighter-something gladiator gear, which Vince thought was amazing. And November, they're released. This is one of WWE's biggest problems. They call people up with no plan in place just for them to wallow there and do nothing, and then, boop! You're gone. We're tossing you out. Happened to Cameron Grimes. Happened to Baron Corbin when he rejuvenated his career in NXT. Came back to SmackDown. Had one very good competitive match. And then he's gone. Happens to so many people. Kiana James I'm worried about because she was doing good stuff in NXT. She could have been the Women's North American Champion. They called her up. Did nothing. Odyssey Jones got called up. Did nothing. I mean, then he had a thing with the New Day, but then they dropped it because of some things. It's just it's a constant cycle of, oh, let's call you up, we have nothing for you, and you just go. We don't want that. And Karrion Kross and Scarlett especially fell victim to this. Scarlett, when she did not get called up with Kross, you knew she was done. And she hasn't even wrestled that many matches in WWE. She's done live events. I've seen her wrestle at MSG. It was a treat. She's good. She's a great wrestler. She's never been in a Rumble, where every other woman in WWE and the legends have all been in one. Give Scarlett a chance, please. Anyway, not talking about Scarlett. We're talking about Kross. He gets released and does a little bit of work in MLW. That's really where he came up. Before he went to TNA as Killer Kross, where WWE discovered him. Had a match or two in New Japan. I'm seeing here he lost to Minoru Suzuki. I kind of remember this happening. And then you didn't hear much of him. Down the line, Triple H takes control of WWE, and he brings back a ton of people that were released and wanted to give them a second chance. Some of these people, Bronson Reed, Chelsea Green, Tegan Knox. And in the main event scene of Friday Night SmackDown, where you had Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns going at it, I don't remember if this is pre-Clash at the Castle or not of that year. Kross returns. Short hair now. New look. Has Scarlett with him. Everything that made him special in NXT is now back. Triple H said, let's forget about your whole first run and how it failed and how we really fumbled you. Let's bring you back, put you on SmackDown, and involve you in a main event program so people can actually see just how good you are. So he beat up Drew McIntyre a little bit and puts the little hourglass on the ring, signaling that Roman Reigns' title reign will be coming to an end soon. And it eventually did. The countdown started. It was a bit of a long countdown. Since Kross had attacked McIntyre, Kross is now in a little type of feud with McIntyre to reintroduce himself to WWE audiences. He beats McIntyre in the first match of their series. And then McIntyre ends up beating him. So, Kross got put on the map. And then he lost. And then he feuds with Rey. And then he loses. Then he feuds with Styles. And he loses. It's a constant win-lose, win-lose. 50-50 booking. But the thing Kross is good at, it's his storytelling, like I said. How he goes about things. When you're watching WWE today, can you tell me the last time he had a match? I could tell you when he had one. It was on a main event taping, like, on Raw. Like literally this Monday on Raw, they did a main event taping, and he came out to his old theme song, not the Final Testament stuff, his old theme song, old everything. But prior to that, I could not tell you the last time he had a match. I don't even think he was in the Rumble. But you turn on Monday Night Raw, and they have a backstage segment. Be it Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Dominic Mysterio even. All these people that are all over the card. Main event guys, lower card guys, mid card guys. They have all been in a backstage segment where Karrion Kross has trotted his way in and instigated. He's the instigator. He helps to move stories along, instill doubt into the wrestlers' heads, saying, are you really able to do this? You need a change. He may be a bad guy, but the advice he's giving is actually useful and helpful. AJ Styles. Styles needs that edge. There comes Karrion Kross. Styles is now going up against Logan Paul. If Logan Paul beats AJ Styles at WrestleMania, which I'm kind of leaning towards that happening, Kross will have been proven right. That Styles needs something to change. Kross is all about the change. Much like The Fiend, and whoever The Fiend had a match with and beat, that person would come back different. It's like planting the seeds with Kross. Everyone he's feuded with, some type of change has happened down the line. Like Dominic Mysterio turned. AJ Styles turned heel. Even though it was short-lived, he turned heel. It happened. Bottom line, there's change when Kross is involved. When the Authors of Pain get brought back, which I was a huge fan of the Authors of Pain in NXT, they had so many chances even when they were called up. They were with Seth Rollins in his little Messiah group. How they managed to fumble them not once, not twice, but three times is beyond me. But Karrion Kross, the Final Testament, they're all brought together. Which is big. It's a group with lots of promise. And if Kross isn't going to be wrestling, if he's not the workhorse of this group, the Authors of Pain can do that. The thing that killed this whole group is that they wrestled the Pride, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. They were in this never-ending feud with them. I swear to God, it went on for months. WrestleMania comes. They had a six-man on the card. And people backstage even knew nobody really cared about it. So what did they do to get people to be invested? Let's put Snoop Dogg on commentary. And it ended up being a very memorable match. From that WrestleMania, I only remember a couple of matches, and that's actually one of them. Couldn't tell you how it ended. I just know Snoop Dogg was on commentary, and it made it like a fever dream watching. Other than that, the Final Testament literally did nothing. They were in the middle of a feud with the Wyatt Six, and the Wyatts actually lost to them. When you thought you were going to get that big blow off, the whole rest of Final Testament gets released, and Kross and Scarlett are on their own again. So the Wyatt Six haven't been seen on TV. Karrion Kross has not wrestled. Are they going to build this guy back up? They should. Be it backstage segments, he wants to help build the Wyatts. He goes to social media, and he posts these cryptic videos. Now, let me just read this Twitter or X exchange, however you want to call it, between Karrion Kross and one of his followers. So they ask this question, what's one thing in acting you learned to be very useful in the WWE, either promo or character-wise? And his response was this, to know the character beyond the script. As example, where is he and what is he doing between the scenes that are being produced to watch? What was he doing and what was he like before the story even started? Create canon for the part, even if it's never discussed or shown on screen, to help develop a context for the role to project into the piece. Exactly what he's doing in WWE. His whole thing is like it's a movie. He wants everybody to experience it. So what's going to be? What's going to happen with Karrion Kross? He's in the contract year. Does WWE want to keep him or do they want to get rid of him? If he has something to sink his teeth into, he will be more valuable than most other people on the roster. And he doesn't need a championship. He could wander, do whatever he wants to do. He does not need a championship to get his point across. I think he should stay, personally. They don't have many people quite like him. Why get rid of that individuality? Or does Kross not need the WWE? It's a case of who wants who more. Does WWE want Kross, or does Kross want WWE? Cross has all these other side projects. He just made a short film. He wrote a book. He could be a bare-knuckle fighter if he wants to. He's going to be a blood sport in independent wrestling, GCW, WrestleMania Weekend. I'm going to be there. He could accomplish all of his storytelling and more on his own. But the WWE is giving him a bigger platform. And if they want to work together, if the WWE wants to put all of their trust in him to help get all these other characters over while also making the storytelling different than anything we've ever seen, then he should stay. If he leaves, so be it. But I don't see him wrestling anymore if he were to leave. I think WWE is his final landing place. He's the perfect fit there. He's not a Kenny Omega. He's not a Joe Hendry. He's not an Obafemi. He is somebody unlike anyone else that has ever graced the WWE. While he may have some comparisons to Bray Wyatt and a few to Baron Corbin, he is a very unique talent that WWE should not let leave. They should give him a good contract to convince him to stay, because Cross, he doesn't need the WWE. He can go out and do whatever he wants on his own and be totally fine. But the fact that we have him on television right now, well, he hasn't been on television, but the fact that the WWE has him locked down right now is good for both parties. And if WWE were to let him walk, what a big mistake it would be. Please don't let it happen. Cross could be so much better. If you give him an opportunity, I guarantee you he could be a main event player instead of just someone that sits on the sidelines, watches, and intervenes when necessary. Give Cross a chance, please. This has been the case of Karrion Kross. I've been your host, Nick Pearl, and I'll catch you on the next one. Let's keep rambling, everybody.